Welcome to the podcast of First Baptist Church of Robbinsville. Thank you for joining us. We trust that the teaching of God's Word will speak to you.
Good morning again, church family. What an incredible day today is as we celebrate the work of God on the life and the marriage of Ethan and Sarah Ramsey. I want to begin by opening up what Jesus said in John chapter 17 as he prayed the night before his arrest. He prayed these words, these famous words, "Father, sanctify them by truth. Your word is truth." Let's pray really quick. Father, we ask your continued blessing on this service. You have blessed it. Now we ask the blessing on the reading of your word, and we ask that you would open up our hearts and our minds to see and to keep seeing the powerful work of your spirit and your word working in the inward man so that outwardly we could serve you and serve your kingdom. And today we celebrate and will continue to celebrate as a church what you have done and what you are doing and what you are continuing to do through the life and ministry of Ethan and Sarah Ramsey. In Jesus' name, amen. And so today's a celebration as a church. We are ordaining Ethan Ramsey into the gospel ministry. And we would want you to know that this began much longer ago than just a year ago when Ethan and Sarah quit their jobs and stepped into the apprenticeship program here at RFBC for one solid year. This began much longer ago than we'll get to that in just a moment. But I want you to know as a church that you share in the celebration of what God is doing in their lives today, that many of you have been invested in Ethan and Sarah's lives spiritually and relationally. As you've known them for a long time or you've gotten to know them in the last year, many of you have supported them both personally, financially, and as a church. We've supported them corporately through this program. And so today we're just celebrating what God has done and is doing. So about a week and a half ago, we met, Ethan and Sarah met with a group of nine men back here. It was Ethan's ordination council. And if you could pull that picture up, we met for a good 3 hours and we spent some time questioning Ethan because he has written a doctrinal statement of faith. And each man in this picture received his doctrinal statement of faith and had about a week to review it. Now, if you notice the picture's a little blurry, I'll just say really quick, if you're sitting on a $5,000 projector at home, then you're just not using it. You want to donate that to the church, there's a good reason why. I just wanted you to see this picture at the end of his ordination council, that these men, we stood and we celebrated what God did even over that period of several hours. You can take that down now, but thank you. Had to throw a little humor in there. But and so I want to share with you, I want us all to just to see how beautiful this was when we finished asking Ethan questions about why he believes and what he believes about the Word of God, man, sin, salvation, the church, end times, discipleship, and so forth. It was just incredible to sit and just, first of all, just to look at his dad who was in the room. We had asked the deacons to come and to sit and participate and or to observe that moment, and we just couldn't help but think about how awesome this must have been for a mother and a father, but his dad, who was physically there in the room, to sit there and just enjoy watching their son stand firmly, unmovable, and unshakable on the Word of God. There were several times Mike's glasses were fogged up because he was just crying over there watching his son. And you know, I would encourage you, talk to Ethan and talk to Mike and hear the testimony of that time when Mike decided to step away from his job because he was gone from the home all the time, and what it was like to come home and to be intentional as a husband, as a dad. Ask Ethan what it was like each and every day to get dropped off at school and for his dad to lock up with him and to pray with him and ask God's blessing on his son before he went to school that day. Ask Miss Leanne what it was like over all these years to pray for her son to find a godly woman, that God would be raising up a woman somewhere in this world that would love Jesus more than life, and to pray that Ethan would find that wife. And God answered that prayer. And so we just kind of sat there and just enjoyed and soaked up that moment. But then I looked around the room and I thought about David Thacker and Jeremy Brown. Whenever Ethan began middle school and he stepped into the youth ministry, into the youth group, David Thacker was his youth pastor and Jeremy was a youth leader. Ask them and ask Ethan sometime when you get a chance what it was like to watch that relationship begin, and to what it was like at a young age 12, 13, and 14, to begin to entertain these relationships with older men and to want to grow and to watch them invest in him and invest in his life and to want to help him to become a spiritual leader equipped who's ready to go out into the world, and just ask them what that relationship was like. Because it was fascinating when Ethan would one day go to college at Gardner Webb, how often he would come home and would seek these men out and would want to talk about something he had experienced or something he had encountered, maybe as a mistake he had made or just something he saw or heard at church. And he wanted to talk with these different men in his life that have always been committed to his spiritual integrity. And then I looked around the room and I thought about Colin McDougall. How often do you see someone in their early 20s having an amazing relationship and spending an intentional time with someone in their late 80s? I mean, really. And so ask Mike and Liam what it was like years and years ago whenever Ethan was just really little and they'd go to Colin's house to study the word, and Miss Jeannie McDougall didn't just turn on a movie and say, "Here you go, Ethan." Ask them what it was like to know that Miss Jeannie McDougall was in another room pouring into their son and teaching him and investing in him and pouring her heart and her life. And he'll tell you, discipleship began for her son back then. Ask Ethan what that relationship's been like. And all the studies of literally studying every book of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation prior to the apprenticeship starting with Colin. Ask him what that relationship's like and how powerful it's been in his life. And I looked across the room and I saw Ben Thacker and I thought, man, how cool is this? That Ben is now our youth pastor, and for over a year now, Ethan and Sarah have served with the youth, and they meet every Sunday and Wednesday night. And Ben oversees, as an elder of this church, he oversees the apprenticeship program. And I just thought, man, what an amazing celebration of all the, 40 or 50 books that you've read. Weekly meetings and book reports every single week, sermon reviews every single Wednesday, elders meetings every Wednesday night. You were in the life group at Ben and Jess's house. You guys were all the one-on-one meetings. And I just thought, man, look at the overflow of just this apprenticeship program that Ben has worked so hard to oversee, and now to watch him stand on the word of God. And then I wish you guys could just interview Kevin Crane, Pastor Kevin Crane from out at Blessed Hope, and Aaron Langston, pastor from over in Whittier, and just watch and just hear from their own words what it was like to stand there and just ask. Man, they asked Ethan more questions than any of the rest of us did, and I guess we asked him about 20 each. But to see them look at him with godly envy and say, "I'd have give anything, Ethan, if we could have received this before stepping into the ministry. I'd give anything if we could have had this experience with our church and men and women in our church." Because they just told him over and over how difficult the ministry was starting out. And man, I'll be honest, those guys gave you more words of encouragement. I mean, they were trying to tell him everything he could possibly have could ever hear to be ready to step into ministry. And you could just feel their hearts wanting him to do well and just celebrating this time with him. And then I looked over at Pastor Alan Branch. Where's he at? There he is. And his wife, Kathy, which is Sarah's mother and father. And just as he said on this ordination council, and I just thought, man, how cool is this? That you're watching the husband of your daughter stand on the word of God. And you know that man goes home to my daughter tonight. And just talk to them and hear what it's like from their point of view to pray all these years for their daughter to find a man who will stand on the word of God, and then to get to sit there on his ordination council. What a fun celebration this has been. So as elders, Trevor and I and the rest, we rejoice as a church. We rejoice. And really what I want to close with is simply this. Romans 1:17 says the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. I wanted to share that with you so that we just see and we keep seeing the beauty of how God works through relationships and through intentional disciple making in the local church year after year. And whether it's an ordination today or something else in someone else's life tomorrow, this church will celebrate and keep celebrating what God is doing. And so the charge that I want to give to you this morning as a body is to believe and continue to believe it is worth it to take the time to get to know that person, to pour your heart and your life in them, to stand with them through the ups and downs. I want to charge you to encourage this young couple that's only been married just a little over 2 years. Three, that's close. I want to charge you to encourage them. You think about it, a word of encouragement whenever he teaches or preaches or when she sings or when you're sharing life group with them, a word of encouragement takes about 20 or 30 seconds to just say, hey, I want you to know God spoke to me whenever you said this or when this came up. And just encourage their ministry because they go into ministry together. I want to charge you to challenge them. Take that time and ask them in the days and years to come, Ethan and Sarah, what are you learning? How are you doing? How's your marriage doing? Because their marriage is going to be put to a test and put to a fire that's very different than anything they've experienced before. How are you guys doing? And if you're sitting under his teaching and something's not clear, I want to charge you to challenge him with a question. Follow up with him later and be like, hey, what did you mean whenever you said this? Here's why. That will only serve to sharpen him. This couple goes into ministry not as knowers, but as learners of God's grace. You will continue to help sharpen them. And then I want to charge you this morning, pray for them. Pray for their spiritual growth. Pray for their marriage. Pray that God would fulfill his ministry in their lives. And pray, as the Apostle Paul asked the church of Ephesus, to pray that God would give them great boldness to speak of the mysteries of the gospel. And then finally, I want to charge you this morning to rejoice with them. This is a tremendous celebration, and we all share today in what God is doing, has been doing, and what God will continue to do through this church family and through the life and ministry of Ethan and Sarah Ramsey. So now it's my great joy to invite up Reverend Ben Thacker to give the charge to Ethan.
Well, my friends, we are here. Your years of study have come to this point right now, and just from Rance's story there, you see it certainly takes a village, right? Everything about our life takes a village, and we need those relationships, and they are so critical. And for the next few minutes, I have the opportunity to talk to Ethan and Sarah, and you all are free to listen in if you would like. I want you guys to think, just a few weeks ago, you had the chance to go to Hawaii, and I want you to remember standing there on the seashore, and you're looking out on the ocean. And I wonder what kind of thoughts come into your mind as you consider the vastness and the majesty of what you see. You wonder about the people on the other side looking back in your direction, and what is life like for them? You wonder about the majesty of the vastness and the size of this thing, and just the depth of the ocean and the uncertainty of all that's there. And then I know you love the beauty of what's below the surface. The colors that you just can't even describe, the words can't put into an understanding on of just this whole other world that lies below the surface. And then there's the animals, the creatures that are both magnificent and terrifying. There's something about the ocean that brings out this wonder and this awe within us, but maybe as you think about that, it also brings out this little bit of a fear. This fear of just, it's really large. There's a lot of unknowns, there's a lot of dangers, and maybe even a fear of the one who could speak such a place into existence. The God who could just say a word and create something so vast and marvelous and wonderful that we can't even describe. And the God who says, all of this that you see is just a drop in the bucket. Now, we live in a culture that loves comfort and familiarity. We love to be in a place where we know exactly what's happening. We pride ourselves on never being at a loss for words. We pride ourselves on knowing exactly what's going on. My great challenge to you is do not lose your sense of awe. Do not become like we often do as adults, where we lose that childlike innocence of just exploration. A child can stop and be mesmerized by something beautiful. As adults, we zoom on by and we miss it. As you begin this wonderful journey as a minister of the gospel, I urge you, brother and sister, do not lose your sense of awe in the God that we get the privilege to serve. I want to spend a few minutes reading to you from Psalm 145. This is a psalm that's become very precious to me in my life and ministry. David says this, "I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works." You know, King David, for much of his life, was a very simple man. He lived in the middle of a wilderness and he took care of sheep. There's nothing too extreme or exciting about that, but yet David, even when he's sitting out there in the wilderness, was mesmerized by the majesty of God. Everywhere David looked as he sat out there in the wilderness, he saw God's glory on display, and that became the cry of his heart. Later on, we know he went on to become one of the most powerful and well-known men in the entire world. But even as a king, David lived his life recognizing who the true king was. David didn't live for his own glory. He didn't live for his own praise. Instead, he took every opportunity he had to turn that praise and that glory back onto the God who deserved it. So we don't know what your future holds. We don't know if God will call you guys to serve in some small, simple, obscure place, or if God will raise you guys up to be spokespeople for this next generation. But wherever it is, my prayer for you is that wherever you find yourself, that you will constantly be awed by the majesty and glory of God. As you start this journey of ministry, it's a dangerous path you're going on. You're signing up to allow yourselves to be frontline fighters for the kingdom of God. But maybe one of the most greatest dangers of all is a very subtle one. It's not one we often think about, but it's the temptation to make the majesty and glory of God something that you're comfortable and familiar with. The temptation to become distracted by the demands of life and lose your awe. At times, ministry will be demanding. It will be discouraging. At times, you will feel overwhelmed, and at times, you'll just kind of feel like it's mundane. But if you lose your sense of awe in any of those times, you and everyone you lead are in great danger. The best thing you can do for Sarah and for your family and for your church that you will be a part of is to be a man who pursues the majesty of God. I want to read verse 4 again because it really lays out a great goal in ministry. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. We really complicate ministry sometimes. We make it this big, obscure, strange thing, and we struggle with what is exactly my calling. Don't forget the simplicity of what we're doing. We have the opportunity to proclaim the majesty of God to the next generation. Now, the problem is you are doing that to a generation who has learned to be comfortable. You have the great privilege of trying to help people open their eyes to see something that they don't see that's all around them. So may you be a couple who focuses so much on the glory of God and lives so much in the awe and worship of God that others can't help but to see that. At times, this is going to feel very overwhelming and you're going to feel at a loss. And you're going to feel like you're failing and you're going to feel like quitting. In those moments, I want to encourage you with the character of God we see in verse 14. The Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. My challenge and call to you is to stay humble. And to stay reliant upon him as he provides a path forward for you. So how will you go about deepening this sense of awe to those who are around you? You're going to do it through your words and through your life. Never forget, this book has the words of eternal life. You do not. Don't ever confuse the two. You are not called to be a man who has all the answers or who has the most wise statement of all. You are called to be a man who stands on the eternal truth of God's word. This is what matters. Give your life to the study of it. But in that challenge of becoming a student of the Word, you have the great privilege of getting to give many hours of your life to studying God. Don't become a professional. Remain a learner who seeks to know the majesty of this God. As soon as you become a professional who's comfortable and who knows and can explain every part of God, you are in great danger. But you not only will help this generation understand God through your word, you'll also do it through your life. I challenge you guys to continue to live a life that pushes people outside of their comfort zone. All of us have the choice. We can live a life that urges people to explore the majesty of God, or we can live lives that encourage people to stay comfortable. You guys have been a great model to this church already in your couple years of the things you've been willing to sacrifice and do to pursue what you know God is calling you to. Continue to live a life that urges people to see something different. So as we close, I want you to remember we serve an awesome God. And God, in his gracious will, has set you aside to help this generation see his glory. Don't overcomplicate it. Don't put all the pressure on yourself. Help people to see the majestic God who we have the privilege of serving. Never lose your awe. If you remain in awe of him, you will finish well. At this time, I'm going to have Ethan come up, and he's going to share a little bit of his testimony about his experience of discipleship through his life.
Well, good morning, church family. Thank you for coming out today and for your kind words to Sarah and to me as we get to celebrate such a fun and special day. This morning, I've been given the opportunity to speak to you for a few minutes on why I wanted to pursue ordination. And in order to answer that question, I need to take you to Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Now, you're probably familiar with this little verse. It's describing the early church just after the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit had added 3,000 people to the number of the early church. And after such an explosion of growth within the church, it would be fair for us to ask, what did they do after that? Right? They went from a couple dozen to 3,000 and a couple dozen. And Acts 2:42 shows us what they did with their time. There we read, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers." And now this verse gets me excited about ministry, because I believe that this little verse is a model for us for what we are to be doing with our ministry today. You see, here we see the church is not just a place to go, but a people to be. And this early church, we see three activities that they were mainly preoccupied with. The first is that the church was learning divine truth from God's word. Right, they dedicated themselves to understanding the Word of God, to reading it together, and seeking how it would apply to their lives. Secondly, this church was committed to doing life together. They loved one another, and through their relationships with each other, they pointed each other to Christ. And thirdly, we see that this church was committed to praying together. Now, these things reflect what Christ focused on his earthly ministry as well. And they're a model for us today for what we are to be doing and how we can impact the world in the best way as we seek to fulfill the mission that Christ gave to us as his church, to go and make disciples. And as I've thought about this verse in my own life and what it means for my ministry, it's been a humbling realization to see this Acts 2:42 model on display throughout my life. So for the next few minutes, I'd like to show you how I've seen this lived out throughout my life, and then why that model has led me to pursue ordination. From my earliest memories, I see my parents living out the Acts 2:42 model in their lives. As a child, I watched my dad make career decisions that put his family first and his career second, because he chose to be a man that would be governed by kingdom principles, not business principles. In the mornings on my way to school, he would stop and pray over me before dropping me off. And in the afternoons on my way home with my mom, virtually every car ride featured a worship session jamming out to Mercy Me with a bunch of their CDs. And for a long time, my parents would go over to Colin and Jenny McDougal's home one night each week, and they would go through the models for disciple makers because they were committed to learning what it meant to live as disciples of Jesus. Now, I would sit in a side room, and sometimes I would play a video game or flip through books, and as Rance has mentioned, a lot of times Jenny would come and play with me and engage me while my parents sat with Colin. But more than anything during those times, I listened. I got to hear what it meant to be a disciple of Jesus even before I hit middle school. Now, as I got older, I hit the teenage years, and anybody that's been there, you know how it is, right? You feel like you know more than your parents. So I hit that stage, and the really fun thing is I still got to see the Acts 2:42 model lived out in a different way through our youth group. And at the time, David Thacker was our youth pastor, and he and the other youth leaders, which included Jeremy and later Ben, before I graduated, they showed me what it looked like to live as disciples of Jesus. They opened their homes for me. They let me see how they loved their wives, how they led their families. And they pursued intentional relationship with me, always pushing me in the pursuit of knowing God more. They guided me to seeing how God wanted to relate through my circumstances in my life to love him more and to live like Jesus more. Every week, David would meet me at Bojangles, when we used to have Bojangles in Robbinsville. And he would listen to me share all the teenage angst, right? All the things that I was struggling with in high school. And he would constantly come back to the question, what are you learning? We studied the word together. We shared meals together. And we prayed together. And the model didn't end when I went off to college. The same intentionality that these men showed me during my time in youth group carried over to while I was away at college. I had multiple men that I knew that I could turn to when my faith was tested, when I made mistakes, when I needed someone to help me see things clearly. They were always ready. And when Sarah and I got married, we were blessed to return to Robbinsville First Baptist. And you welcomed my wife with open arms. And you invested in her and in our marriage in really special ways. We were quickly put in a discipleship group, and I learned more of what it meant to be a disciple of Jesus while Sarah got to be introduced to this for the first time. Over weekly meals together in each other's homes, studying the word and praying for one another, through the community that we experienced every Sunday here, you were building us up and pointing us to Christ. And as we got to experience the Acts 2:42 model here together, I began to understand more of what Christ's plan for the church is all about. And I began to see how I could use my life to serve a part in that plan more fully. The Father soon opened a door for full-time ministry for us, and he placed a burden on my heart to reproduce this Acts 2:42 model in other churches as well. And it's my prayer that the Lord would use Sarah and me to serve his church wherever he sees fit. To make disciples is the calling of every believer. And I'm humbled to be given the opportunity to pursue this calling through full-time ministry. And this apprenticeship program has opened the door for us to become more invested, to live out this Acts 2:42 model in a really different and unique way than we had ever been able to before. We've gotten to sit across the table from some of you and share burdens with people who have experienced great personal tragedy throughout this past year. We've been able to share in personal victories and celebrate as God has brought walls down in your lives. We've gotten to hear incredible testimonies of marriages restored, families made whole, and impossible situations turned to good through our God who works all things together for good for those who love him. Through life group, through helping the youth, and observing the elders lead and the deacons serve, I've been reminded time and again what it looks like to be a church dedicated to the word, united in fellowship, and committed to prayer for one another. And as I finish my time in the apprenticeship, Sarah and I are praying that God would help us to use what we have learned and received and heard and seen to serve and build up his church wherever he sees fit. So as I close this morning, I want to stop and say thank you. Thank you to our elders. All of you have invested so much in my life. The apprenticeship program was just 1 year, but this has really been a decade or more in the making. From youth group to discipleship studies in your homes to late night FaceTimes and long phone calls while I was in college, you guys have been so intentional to pursue this relationship with me, and you've loved me and my wife so well. There's nothing that I can give as an adequate thank you, but I rejoice knowing that there is one who can and will repay your investment. And thank you to the church family. Thank you for prioritizing leadership, development, and providing the freedom for our elders to go out on a limb with a program like the RFBC apprenticeship. Thank you for being willing to shoulder the financial burden of the apprenticeship in the middle of a pandemic. Thank you for your prayers and your encouragement throughout this training process. And thank you for your patience with me when I've been behind the pulpit. Today marks the end of a year-long apprenticeship program to equip me for full-time ministry. But I hope that you've seen through my testimony that this was not a 12-month process. Throughout my life, I have seen many faithful believers committed to living out relational discipleship in the way that Acts 2:42 describes. They have raised me, they've invested in me, and they continue to walk through life with me. My hope and my prayer is that we as a church continue this model as we seek to make disciples who love and live like Jesus. Pray with me. Father God, thank you for your vision for the church. Thank you for the invitation for all of us to participate in this vision. We praise you for the model that we see in Acts chapter 2. Father, I pray that we would be a church that continually commits to reproducing that model in the lives of others. Father, thank you for the privilege of getting to see you work through the lives of these people, through hard situations, that we get to see your glory shine forth in all its brilliance, that we get to see lives made whole. And I thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to continue to serve your church in that way. Thank you for this church and for our elders. I pray that you would continue to grow this church. Be with us today and in your name. Amen.
Well, it is a pleasure to get to be a part of this celebration today. And this really is a celebration and a culmination of something that God has been doing in the life of Ethan for a long time. And so at this time, we're going to have a time of prayer over Ethan, because it really has been a joy to get to watch him as his youth pastor through all of the ups and downs of high school, through going away to college and so desperately wanting to show a discipleship model in that context, and recognizing it's really hard when you are fighting it alone. And I think he began to recognize the importance of a team. And instead of getting discouraged in that process, but to continue to fight through to say, okay, then how can I be equipped to help this model and to help show churches this model of discipleship in the future? And that has been a process that has continued since he and Sarah got married, as well as coming to Robbinsville. But what we want to recognize today is that as we have this time of laying on of hands of Ethan to set him apart to the gospel ministry, by laying on hands today doesn't mean that his role started today and that this prayer all of a sudden equips him to do ministry in a way that he's never done it before. What we are here today is to recognize what the Holy Spirit has already been doing in his life. We're here to recognize the investment and to see the model that he has sought to show other people and to take that step of investing in the lives of others. It doesn't start today. And so as Ethan and Sarah are going to come up and Ben and Rance are going to get chairs for them, what we really want to affirm to the church is there is not some special power that is now going to go from the elders to Ethan. That this is just, it's a sign and it's a remembrance of the authority that those that are in the gospel ministry recognize we are under the authority of the headship of Jesus Christ. And that Ethan, has been said today, there is no way on earth that you can do this in your own strength. The only way is for you to stay connected to the Holy Spirit within you and to rely on His strength and His gifting to accomplish this work of ministry that God has set you apart for today. So Ethan and Sarah, will you all come up? We will also have any other elders or any other ministers of the gospel that have already been set up that would like to come up to lay hands on them and to pray over them. Alan, Colin, if you would like to come up. And we're just going to have a time of prayer over them. And we invite you to join in prayer for them, not only today, but also, as Ben and Rand said, in the time to come, because they will need the strength to carry out this endeavor. All right, let us pray. Father, it is a joy and a delight to see individuals that want to serve you and that have committed their life to being learners who seek to know you, to understand you, and have a desire to help communicate that to others. We thank you for Ethan and Sarah. We thank you for their life. We thank you for their marriage. We thank you for the openness and the willingness to grow and to learn that they have showed. And Father, we recognize that you have a special calling on his life, that his desire is to be able to help train and equip others in this role of prioritizing disciple making in the churches. Father, we pray that you would equip him each and every step of the way and everything that is needed. Father, through all the ups and downs of life, through all the things that they will learn and grow in, Father, may they continually seek you, to know you, to find their strength, and to find everything they need in you and you alone. Father, we are so grateful for this church body, and we pray that you would continue to help us to be an encouragement and a strength to them as they are on this endeavor. But we thank you for their heart. We thank you for their attitude and their desire to be disciples of Jesus Christ. And not only personally be disciples, but to want to share that with others and to help others to be disciples of Jesus Christ. Father, may they model for others a love and a desire for you. May they continue to be more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. And may they continue to rely on you and you alone each and every step of the way. Father, we thank you so much for them, and we recognize and acknowledge today what you've already done in their life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Welcome to the podcast of First Baptist Church of Robbinsville. Thank you for joining us. We trust that the teaching of God's Word will speak to you.